You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus left Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that way we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious Lord, we confess to you that at times we have felt disappointment in our lives, and we have too quickly rushed to gloss over what is difficult. But you assure us that sickness, pain, and even death itself do not lead to death, but to your glory. And furthermore, you promise us resurrection and eternal life. So help us to believe you and to seek after you. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see friendly, familiar faces. And for all of you out there, thank you for taking time to hear the Word of God this morning. So lately, because there's a stay-at-home order because of COVID-19, I and my wife, Sherry, have become homeschool parents, as millions of other parents have. I think I can say millions. And I gotta say thank you to all of the teachers out there. You are a gift from God. What you do is amazing. And we are guilty of taking it for granted. Now that we have our kids at home and we have to teach them, it is hard work. Lately, I have been working with my older two on fractions. And they say fractions is one of the walls of mathematics. There are walls that a student encounters when they're learning mathematics that are hard to get over. And fractions, for many students, is the first wall, the first thing they face that is hard. And there was an old Peanuts cartoon where Charlie Brown was called over by someone, and they were, you know, talking about cookies. If you have 3 cookies on a plate and you take away 2, you know, that's 2/3 cookies. And then Charlie Brown throws up his hands and says, "Oh no, you're trying to teach me fractions," and he runs out of the room. I can relate to that. We also have to pause and give thanks to those Sunday school teachers who teach the children the faith. And now that we are all participating in the stay-at-home order, we have to teach the faith to our children. And I don't know if you heard about the child that went to Sunday school. It's an old story, fable from church tradition. A child went to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher was teaching about heaven. And the teacher asked the child, "Do you know what you have to do to get into heaven?" And different children said different things. One child said, "You have to be good." And another child said, "You have to follow the Ten Commandments." And then another child said, "You have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior." And another child said, "All you have to do is have faith." And then a child that had never been there before raised their hand, and they said, "That's not what I heard at all." And the Sunday school teacher said, "Well, what did you hear you had to do to go to heaven?" And the little kid said, "I heard you had to die." That was a shock or a surprise. And anyone who's ever taught children before knows that out of their mouths come anything, and sometimes words that are brutally honest. If we are honest with each other, this is a topic that is on our minds, our own mortality. It's a topic that we are thinking about because of the pandemic happening around the world. And even if that wasn't happening, each of us at times know people who we lose, and we think about that. In our story this morning from the Gospel of St. John, we hear about this family that was close to Jesus who lost their brother Lazarus. And what is striking about the story is the three members of this family, they're all siblings. You've got the oldest, which is Martha, and Martha is responsible, practical. She operates out of her head. She's a thinker. You have Mary. Mary is the one who had anointed Jesus' feet. She was known in another gospel for sitting at Jesus' feet with the other male disciples. And she is more of a feeler and is expressive of her emotions. And then you have the brother Lazarus, who had died, who they say was a friend of Jesus as well. When Jesus finally gets to their house, 4 days after Lazarus had died, both Martha and Mary say the exact same words to Jesus. They say, "Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And we can take those words to mean different things. Maybe there was a tinge of anger in those words. "Lord, if you had been here, you could have saved him." Or maybe for Martha and Mary, there was also shame. Shame in sisters who had done everything in their power to care for their brother and yet weren't able to save him. Maybe they were feeling shame and saying to Jesus, "If you had been here, you might have saved him, but we couldn't." I suppose that they felt a bit disappointed, or extremely disappointed, in what had happened in themselves, and maybe even a little at Jesus. Jesus doesn't reproach, reprimand, criticize, or berate them. Instead, Jesus utters these words first to his disciples, and then he demonstrates the truth of them to this family when he says, "Lazarus's illness isn't so that he would die. It's so that he would give glory to God." And then Jesus goes about showing them. First, to Martha, he listens. He listens to her and her grief, and he listens to her difficult questions. They almost have an intellectual conversation about resurrection, and if it's in the age to come or something right now. They talk about who Jesus is as the resurrection, God's very promise with the people. Jesus meets Martha where she's at. He thinks with her. He joins with her. Then she leads him to Mary. Mary is dealing with her grief in a different way. Rather than having an intellectual conversation, Mary is weeping. She's expressing her feelings in a very strong way. She has a crowd gathered around her, and they're all expressing their emotions, understandably so. Again, Jesus doesn't berate or criticize, but he meets her where she's at, and he weeps with Mary. Finally, Jesus goes to Lazarus. He says, "Take me to your brother," and they caution him against it. It's been 4 days. It's not pretty. It's ugly. As a pastor who mentored me said, death stinks. Jesus insists, and he goes. He doesn't talk to Lazarus at first. He doesn't feel. He goes to the tomb. Jesus foreshadows in this story that in just a few days' time, he would go on a cross and that he would die and he would be buried in a tomb. He would give his very life so that he could join with Lazarus and each and every one of us throughout history to know and to be with us in times of suffering and death. So that no matter who you are or where you are not alone. God is with you. God thinks with you. God feels with you. And ultimately, God even goes with you to the grave. But that's not how the story ends. The grave could not contain the Lord. And as he goes to the grave and spends time in there and is with us, our Lord cries out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes back to life. God is able to go to death. We say in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. Or he descended to the dead. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. He tasted the sting of death, and death could not hold him. But he resurrected on the third day, and he gives that power of new life freely to all of creation, beginning on an Easter morning some 2,000 years ago, and then rippling across time, onward and outward, until the fulfillment of Christ's eternal life is known on this earth. And what is his invitation for this gift? The invitation that Jesus makes to Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and you, and me, is to believe. Believe that no matter where you are or what you are going through, you are not alone. God is with you. Believe that even a sickness, a terrible sickness, is not the end. It leads not to death, but it gives glory to God. Believe that as terrible or as difficult things might be, that God will be with you and God can use that to bring you closer to God. Believing means feeling lonely. Doesn't mean you're alone, but it gives glory to God. Believing means that if you lose your job, that doesn't end in death, but God will be with you and bring you into God's glory. Believing means that even when a church building is empty, that doesn't lead to death, but it leads to God's glory. Believing in God means that even reason and scientific pursuit brings glory to God. Believing means that an enemy breathing threats against you doesn't lead to death, but brings you into God's glory. Believing means that even death doesn't end in death, but that God's glory will be known. So believe. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to believe. Help us to believe that you give eternal life. Help us to not fear the cross, but to seek you there. You can come in. Dear God, we thank you for your resurrection life. We thank you for joining us every step of our life. So help us to have patience and to believe in you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.